Yesterday at the last moment, there was a question on the web that how to increase attention, what should be done to increase alertness and attention. And the other one is about the measure of spiritual progress. That was from here also somebody had asked that how more parameters, how to measure the spiritual progress. See, the attention, the closest word will be Shraddha. Actually, Shraddha means, we generally say respect, value, etc. Actually, it depends on how we are valuing anything. That is, depending on our value, our attention will be on that. Suppose a person values money as the greatest thing in life. His attention will always be on money. Is it not so? Similarly, a person who values fame or appreciation or love, according to that will be, his attention will always be on such things. So it depends on what we are valuing as the most valuable in life. As like that, until we value this spiritual goal as supreme in life, compared to all other things in life, when as long as we are not giving it the highest value, our Shraddha for this sadhana will not be there fully. Our Shraddha will be getting divided depending on what value we are assigning to what. But in general, that alertness or attention we are speaking about, generally we lack it, extremely, we lack it very much. Everywhere we are always pointing out that ashram life is only to increase attention, because of some simple reason. Desire means what? Desire means always clinging to something in future, is it not so? Small desire, big desire, whatever, even getting some appreciation from somebody also, if we value that, and if your desire for getting appreciation is there, suppose I am doing something, I may do well, but even then, if it is so much, a person is egoistic that because I am doing, it should be done in the best. See, doing better can be two ways. One is that I may think that whatever I do, I will do my best. But often with that is associated an egoistic parameter that because I am doing, my work will be done best. So I will not be attentive about other things or whatever is happening. Whatever department I am running, that has to be the best performance. Am I clear? Or new more examples? It is very clear. Everywhere it happens. So there also, because of clinging to the desire element there, maybe he does everything with perfection, wants to do very well, but it will, on the overall picture, wholesome picture, it will not be always done very well. Because his mind is pinned to the future, that the reputation of his work or appreciation of his work, that he wants to do it in a best manner compared to all others, that egoistic movement there. So he will miss many other points which is getting missed in the process of making his work best. So suppose in the ashram, if I am serving something and I want that serving to be very good, I am the coordinator of the main coordinator in serving, and I want that to be very well done. So I will try to take away all the volunteers from all other departments and put them under me, so the other departments will suffer. It can happen like that also. Not only that, in the process, we have various things. We had here example where some sweet is given. A person would like to serve sweet, payasam, etc., because people like to have it, so he gets his satisfaction by serving sweet or something good like that. But suppose the sweet has come less. Suppose there are 20 people and there are 10 sweets. So you have to halve it and give. Then this boy will say that, no, I will not serve. I cannot serve them half. In the ashram, we have only 10 and we cannot throw it off. We are just sharing and taking. But his ego would not permit that. I cannot serve half. So see how the ego deludes us in every point. and we miss other things. This is also a case of attention. We are not having a wholesome attention, so we are not able to catch the proper behavior, proper truth in every field. So, desire means always our attention is going to either future, that is future means what will happen at that, and I want some gain out of it, either some appreciation, some reputation, some other gain from it. So the mind is always pinned to the future. Or else the other part of the desire is, suppose in the past I have not been able to fulfill myself in something, so the mind goes on, what shall I say, it is not repentation, goes on, may not be always lamenting but grieving or something, that it either it remains with the past or with the future. That is also a desire. Suppose if it is fulfilled, then the mind will become free if the desire is not there. But because that unfulfilled desire is there, the mind is roaming in the past. And because still desire is unfulfilled desire for future is there, the mind is roaming in the future. So normal mind, normal means usual mind, not that the others are abnormal, they are more normal. Usual mind, our mind is generally always going back and forth, past and future. So clinging to past and clinging to future, it does not remain in present. That is why we miss the alertness or attention we miss because of that, because the mind is always either in future or in the past. The moment our mind becomes free of this desire, this peculiar clinging to the future and clinging to the past, it will automatically become attentive to the present. That is why it is said for a knower that yatra yatra mano yati tatra tatra samadhaya. For him, wherever his mind goes, there itself is samadhi. Or as Ma was saying yesterday, yada yat kartum ayati tada tat kurute riju. This riju is very important there. You will be able to do with the straightforwardness, with the transparency, with the right, proper proportion, without partiality, without personal ego, only when the mind is free from desires. So here, this is the one thing we have to understand, that when we are serving, our mind is not exactly on the, suppose a person is taking food. Now somebody has served the vegetable. We have found that even in the second serving, the person serving is not watchful that already that vegetable is fully existing on his plate. He asks again. And like that, not one, sometimes two, three persons ask like that, and the person taking food gets annoyed. That, don't you see that I have so much, why are you asking again and again? It happens here also. So much of lack of attention is there. You have to ask yourself or whoever is serving like that where is your mind when you are serving? We are serving for the people to eat. So we must be attentive to that. Sometimes we will put buttermilk or water, only a quarter glass. Sometimes it is overflowing. That is so much full that the person while taking it, the tea will fall off. So what proportion, how much of filling will be comfortable for the person, so that he can easily take it. At the same time, it will not look that it is very less. All these things we have to see. I have found that our Mohan was very attentive. Even if a person, visitor, who had come years ago, provided of course Mohan's like that person. If he dislikes, he will put only burnt dosha on his plate. Ma has taken so many burnt doshas in her earlier period of Mohan. He would remember how much of rice the person would take, what are the vegetables he likes. He used to remember. It could be because of little desire also that he wants appreciation from the people. But it can happen without desire also. That is, if we are serving, we should be able to understand. At least after three or four servings, we would know the preference of the person and how he takes and all. Basically, it is the mind not remaining in the present. How to increase it, if you ask? It can be increased only by removing such past and future clinging. What else can be done? There could be other methods of the psychologist will say that you play this game, that game, they will give by that, attention will increase. We are not bothered about that. That may increase artificially, but we are not speaking that kind of an attention. Bhagavad Gita says, Shraddha mayoyam purushaha, yo yat shraddha saeva saha. A man is nothing but the embodiment of his Shraddha. That is, outside you may look anything, but really speaking, what is your personality? Inside, your mind. It is wherever your attention is, whatever you value to be supreme, your mind is made of that. So when the Shraddha is on the supreme goal, you are the supreme goal, you become the supreme goal. It is so simple. So it is actually attention, and the highest, the peak of attention is the knowing the soul every moment, everywhere. Pratibodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. That is the ultimate attention. It is called apramada, that all our other time we are suffering from pramada. Inattention means pramada in Sanskrit. When we come to know that one consciousness everywhere, because as I said the other day also, this camera we are seeing, actually the camera is revealed by the consciousness. But because our focus is on the small, only the camera we see, but the unbounded, unlimited consciousness which is revealing the camera, that we are not aware of. We are missing it. So the real attention is when we will not miss it. Then only we call it the real attention. In Kathopanishad it is saying, Tam yogamiti manyante sthiram indriya dharanam. It is before that the shloka I have already said that day. That yada panchava tishthante jnanani manasasa buddhishtana vicheshtate tamahu paramam gatim. When all the indriyas, mind, intelligence, all are still, not sleeping, but still effortless, that is the supreme state. Then he is saying, tam yogamiti manyante, that is the state of yoga. Sthiram indriya dharanam, that is all the senses including mind and intelligence, they are all to hold them still but not sleeping, falling asleep. Remaining awake but still. Apramattas tada bhavati yogohi prabhavapyehu. Apramattas tada bhavati, that is the state of apramada. The pramada goes at that point. So this is the height of attention. So since this is the ultimate goal, we can say that ultimate goal is to gain this attention so that we know the soul everywhere, everything. We don't, everywhere we see the same thing. So this attention is extremely important, most important in spiritual life. So we start with attention in all our behaviors. That is, the ashram life is hinged on, is pinned on attention. The everywhere, everything we do, the whatever people may say that we are scolding the brahmacharis, we are not behaving properly with the brahmacharis or all, we take it all, but it is only to grow some attention in them that we have to do whatever we do here. It is only we are looking for that kind of an attention. Measures for spiritual progress. Now here also the formula is simple. What is the spiritual goal? What is the goal? Identifying ourselves with the soul, what we are talking about, the universal soul. Now what can be the spiritual progress? The nearer we come to the soul. What does it mean? Whatever properties of the soul or a knower we talk about, those properties, more and more they come in us, we come closer and closer to the soul. So where is the measure? Measure is all the soul parameters, all the soul qualities, soul characteristics, whatever we are assigning to that universal revealer. So they have to be measured, we have to understand, they cannot be measured from outside, they have to be all within. So if you enumerate them, well, the very good example is Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter 7th verse to 11th verse, all the 20 qualities have been enumerated. We can go one by one. They are all representing spiritual progress. Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shantirayavam, Arjavam. Like that it goes. Or in simple, you can say as a primary, those who are not reading Bhagavad Gita also, if you enumerate them, the one is impersonality and impartiality. The soul is universal. We are always considering ourselves to be small, limited by the body, mind, personality, and with that identity, we have me, mine, and others, all those differences, everything is coming. The more we become impersonal, the more we can take impersonal view in everything, not only view, impersonality in everything. And impersonality goes always along with impartiality also. Normally we are partial to us, to our own people, to our the people we like, and we are generally hateful about others. So impartiality, the moment we become, the more we become impersonal, we will become impartial also. So they do go together. Ultimately, the soul hosts everything, the Brahman or the soul. Even the criminal also is equally hosted by it. And the saint also is equally hosted by it. This is the parakashta, the peak of impartiality and impersonality. It shows the ugly things. It reveals whatever is ugly, it shows the ugliness. It reveals beauty, whatever is beautiful, it shows that also. It shows the badness, it shows the goodness. Everything, its function is only to reveal without getting tainted by what it is revealing. It hosts everything without getting affected by that. So that is why this impersonality and impartiality, another quality you can add, unaffectedness. This measure of spirituality is unaffectedness. By any situation, if we find our mind is remaining unaffected, but without becoming insensitive, there are stone-like people who are unaffected by everything. That you cannot say that they are insensitive. Then the next you can say samatva. Now this samatva will lead you to unaffectedness. Samatva to sukha, dukkha, success, failure, all that thing will lead you to unaffectedness. Now samatva you should not miss, the real import should be always remembered. We have explained already one day. It does not mean that I don't want then success, even if there is failure done. It's not that. It is the readiness of the mind to accept whatever comes. And if you considered what all this means experientially, that means we said yes, samatva, yes, unaffected and impersonality, personality, impartiality, etc. But how would you feel? The feeling of as you come closer and closer to the soul, the feeling will be soul-like. That means we can say it is sort of a sky-like or a spatial feeling inside you will have. That is, from the feeling you can know what is the space doing. It is hosting everything. Even if there is a nuclear explosion, the space doesn't get tainted, affected by that. Nothing happens to that. Normally the sky, we feel that the sky does not get affected by anything. It hosts everything. It reveals everything. So that kind of a sky-like feeling will be there. Normally we are clinging to small, small things. So we are suffering from all kinds of stress created by them, and the mind always remains small. See, when you first go to the, see the ocean, in front of the ocean, first time in life, you feel so great about it, that, oh, like that. Why is that feeling coming? Because your mind suddenly takes the form of the ocean. It expands. That such a vastness, you are not generally thinking. Actually, the vastness is in our mind. It is not outside. All feelings are generated by the mind. But because we are used to deal always with the small, small things, that infinitude, vastness, these are not coming. That is why we always say that you go to the roof and look at the sky. In the night, if you sleep on the roof, you will have a lot of spiritual experience looking at the sky. But you have to really look at the sky and expand your mind. If you stay near the ocean for 7 days or more, then the mind will not expand anymore. It becomes monotonous. Or when you are looking at the ocean also, if you get the news that you have lost your job, immediately the mind collapses. So the vastness is not in the ocean. The first vision of the ocean is becoming instrumental to generate vastness in your mind, and that you are feeling a sky-like vastness inside. So the more and more we grow in spirituality, the mind will generate always this infinitude, the vastness, the sky-like feeling inside, which is nothing but called vairagya. The real meaning of vairagya is that. The parakashta of vairagya, that means the ultimate peak of vairagya, is the soul. The soul is the real vairagyan. It takes anything, it hosts anything without getting affected by that. That is our icon for vairagya. And the other experiential feeling about this spirituality progress is prasada dawning in the mind. This also I have said, but if you want to enumerate, these are the major things that comes to my mind. In Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter, 16th verse, manah prasada saumyatvam. See, here actually they are describing the various kinds of tapas. There they have mentioned the manasika tapas. What are the manasika tapas? What is the mental austerity we perform? He says, manah prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhiritya tapo manasamuchyate. Now here they have described this as a mental tapas. Why? By mental austerity we are supposed to gain these qualities, whatever they have mentioned there. First is manah prasadaha, placidity of the mind. I earlier also said it is not the usual happiness we think about. It will be there in happiness as well as in suffering. A placidity of the mind. Even if there is suffering, you may shed tears, but you will not get agitated. You will not wail, you will not shout. Nothing like that. You shed tears and you will feel the whole inner, there is an inner bath going on. Even in great suffering, very deep suffering, you will find that the, as if there is an inner bath. That is the manaprasadaha. It will be there in suffering as well as in happiness. Saumyatvam. It has come from moon-like. Saumya word has come from soma, means moon. Moon-like. It's a brilliant brilliance inside. Now, they are not talking about the face, they are talking about the mind. That moon, not moon-like face. So it's a uniform, cool brilliance. It is not like the sun, which is scorching. Saumyatva means there is a brilliance, but it is very comfortable, soothing, moon-like brilliance. The mind will have that kind of a brilliance. In the 14th chapter, they will say that sattvaguna, when it increases, sarvadvareshu prakasha upajayate. When the sattvaguna increases, sarvadvara means all the indriyas, all the senses that we have, dvara, where from the inputs are coming. There is a prakasha. It becomes extremely sensitive, brilliant. That is how they are able to understand subtle things, sense subtle things, etc. So, manaprasada saumyatvam maunam. Now, in mental tapas maunam, they are saying it is not vachika tapas that you practice not speaking at all. People, those who practice maunam, they will keep a chit and a notebook, and throughout the day they will go on writing. That tell this person that not to come again. That means mind is agitated, so that agitation is coming down in the writing. That maunam has no value at all. It is you are subduing by not speaking, the mind will get all the more agitated by that. That is what kind of general maunam people practice. But maunam has to be a mental maunam. That means there will not be any agitating thought, any affectedness. See, all the those qualities are coming here also. Manaprasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha. That means your whole personality should be under your control. It should not be slave to the situation. Normally our mind is slave to the situation. The moment somebody says something, why are you saying like this? I am not more agitated than the other person. So you will not be slave to the surrounding situation, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. If it is very pleasant, then also we become slave. So the moment that pleasantness goes, we become agitated. So this Atma Vinigraha is actually completely getting over the slavery to the world. Worldliness, so to say. Not world, worldliness. Then comes Bhava Samshuddhi. This I have explained in great detail in that causal level treatment, that finally you had Bhava Samshuddhi means not just purification of your work or shuchitva. It is the inmost shuchitva. What the mind is constituted of, that bhava of the mind, purifying that. So that you don't have to be watchful about your thoughts or behavior or anything. The real purity of the mind is the absolutely the constituent of the mind will undergo a change. That is what we do in spiritual practice by constantly ruminating on the soul, which is universal, impartial, all-pervading, untainted. By constantly interacting with that concept, constantly thinking of such a soul, our mind becomes like that. That is the bhavasam shuddhi, samyak shuddhi, not just shuddhi. Sam shuddhi means samyak shuddhi. That means from inmost level it has been purified, cleansed. This is very important in jnana marga, in a proper spiritual practice, because any time, any day, we may lose control. We don't know what is going to happen. So if you subdue anything, it may come out. We have seen it also in people happening, that when the, suppose some faculty becomes defective, the control over the senses, and it goes, people behave absolutely recklessly in that case. Unless we clean up our mind from deep within, it is absolutely cleansed. We cannot be sure of our future, so to say. Bhava samshuddhi ityetat tapo manasam uchyate. So otherwise you can go through various qualities in various cases, but this I think in precisely, if you keep these in mind or keep it written and every day you look into this, that whether how much I have failed and how much we have been successful, that itself will be. So these two questions I have replied. Any other questions you have, you can ask. Because here people do not ask. When they meet personally, they have all the questions to ask. So at that time I tell that, why don't you ask in the class? All will be benefited. So people are shy of asking. So you can write down.
Swamiji, in my answer script, I think the second last question, you put what are the factors that are obstructing or delaying you in your spiritual sadhana? Okay, I put all the external factors. I didn't put the internal factors, because honestly, there are no internal factors that are stopping me. It is all external factors that are stopping me.
That is not only you. Many people have written, and I have at the side written the same thing that I meant by obstacles, the internal obstacles. If you have not seen any, you don't find any internal obstacle, means you are not able to introspect. Only for a knower, no internal obstacle will be there. Until you become fulfilled as a knower or fulfilled in your mind, till then, there must be some obstacle, because of that you are not getting fulfilled. So that has to be traced. Otherwise, how will we progress?
So that means
what are the obstacles in my mind? I have to find out that where the mind is remaining constricted, it is not able to expand, it is not able to own up everybody, or it is having partial. There could be so many things in the mind, or the mind desires. What are the desires? What am I looking for? That even out of, I have done everything in life, materially I am satisfied, children wise, family wise I am satisfied, professional wise I am satisfied, but still I don't feel fulfillment. So where is the insufficiency or gap? That itself we have to find out, no? So I meant that you have to look within and find out what are the greatest obstacles in your mind which is not allowing you. It could be ego also, that when you say something, if people do not accept, you get agitated about that. It could be that also. It is an internal obstacle. That is, you are not able to become soul-like, as just now we have discussed, that you are not able to become like the soul. See, when you say soul, actually the pure mind itself is the soul. What will happen? Soul always is there, it will be there, it was there, soul does not change. There cannot be any change in the soul at all. That is the mystery of the soul. So whatever undergoes change through our sadhana is our mind, intelligence, emotion, our personality. That mind, when it gets purified, then that itself becomes the soul. So it is called Shuddha Sattva.
Okay.
So until that is becoming, all the obstacles, the hindrances are in the mind. So we have to practice looking into mind, straightforward way, and discovering, as I was saying, like putting our personality on the examination desk, and like the frog inspection. Like that we have to examine and find out what is happening.
I want to say something, Swamiji. Once one elderly Swami had come here, and he was very learned. So Swamiji, our Swamiji, called all of us and asked this Swamiji to tell about himself. He was very scholarly. He had learned from the best of gurus in North India. He was a Keralite. And he was about 72 years old at that time.
Long focus, both can
having completed 50 years, more than 50 years of his sannyasa life. So when Swamiji asked him to tell about his life, he told that he left Kerala in search of truth, went to North India at a very young age, maybe about 17, 18. And he was 72 at this time. He said that, I have a life of tragedy. And wherever I started from, I am still there. Though he was a sannyasin and he was very scholarly, his face was very brilliant. And he told about his life also.
Now, so, wherever I started, that is a humble statement.
Humble
it is
statement.
Not so, but he means something by that.
He means something. So, he was just cautioning all the inmates that you are under a Sadguru. See to it that you progress. Progress you must. So, somebody asked him that, Swamiji, why are you saying like this? Then he said, I think I had lack of intensity. Lack of intensity. So later I had asked Swamiji that, Swamiji, what does he mean by lack of intensity? Because he has done everything. He has learned, he has gone from here to there.
Not only that, he has listened to from very great saints.
Great
two, three saints he named, he has remained, studied shastras under them. We know, we have heard about them, some we know also.
And
they are very great knowers.
Very austere life he has led. So what is this lack of intensity he is talking about? Then Swamiji told me that you open Aparokshanubhuti. There is a sloka where it says, Anusandhana Rahityam. Anusandhana Rahityam Alasyam Bhogalalasam. These are the main three, and there are some others. So this Anusandhana Rahitya, Swamiji was explaining, is one, it becomes a great obstacle. We become complacent. That's like Jairatnam is saying that I don't have a mental obstacle. You must understand that mental obstacle is the obstacle. Outside obstacles you can still manage. But mental obstacles, it's very difficult to manage. So what are the mental obstacles? Somebody else also, exactly the sentence that he has used, I don't have any mental obstacles, somebody else was asking me after this introspection 2-3 days back. So, Anusandhana Rahityam. The Anusandhana Rahityam is you are not trying to find out what is the cause of your not becoming fulfilled. Not becoming space-like, not becoming unaffected. And that comes because of alasya also. After some time, even if you try to become very introspective, you'll find your mind has gone away to something else. And bhogalalasam. That is, always there is a desire. Subtle desires will take your mind away.
This bhogalalasam is very important. It is actually called bhoga pravritti. We are not able to get rid of it. Even those who are very successful in meditation, they get trapped by meditation because the little peace and blissfulness or ecstasy
In the second line, rasasvadasya.
Rasasvadasya
so shunyata. Rasasvadasya means you
rasa.
You find so much of rasa in meditation that what meditation should actually give you. Your mind is not focused on the self.
The goal is lost. You are getting trapped by the bhoga. That is, earlier you were having worldly bhoga. Now you are having spiritual bhoga. Until the bhoga goes, you will not attain the truth, which is beyond bhoga and suffering. Without yearning means intensity. That intensity of yearning, he is saying. No, yearning for the state, that's transcending all these things. Without the yearning, how can you have? But the yearning at the last point, you have to leave it also. Then the yearning becomes an obstacle. That is the last obstacle. The clinging to God or clinging to self-realization, that is the last obstacle. There we have to drop that also. When other things are done with, when all other sanghas are removed, then this sangha also, it will automatically go, or you have to drop it. Acha, there is a question has come from web. Did not Ravana and Duryodhana had any pluses? Pluses means qualities they must have meant. If they had, what stopped them from getting enlightened? Yes, why Ravana and Duryodhana? Anybody, the millions of people, everybody has some guna, some qualities. It does not mean that they will become enlightened. First of all, Duryodhana never wanted any good in his case. He said that whatever God makes me do, I don't want to, I know all the dharmas, I have no pravritti for that. I know all the adharmas, I have no nivritti for that. He never wanted to become good. So naturally, without that, there is no question of getting enlightened at all. And Ravana's case, Ravana was a great tapasvin. He was a great ritualist. He had lot of siddhis in yaga, yajna. Those things people often do not know. He was a very great tapasvin with lot of qualities and all. But in spite of that, only the ego, that spoiled him. That is why Ravana is pictured with 10 heads. It does not mean that he had all 10 heads. It means the ego was so much that if you cut off one, another will come up. In one line you cut off the ego, in another line it picks up. So he was always burdened with the 10-headed ego. That we are burdened with one ego perhaps. He was burdened with like 10 egos. That is what they have pictured. So much was his burden. So enlightenment remains a little away.
Professor Narayan wants to ask.
Swamiji, the question, how do you take up spiritual sadhana? So I had written about how to open up the mind and then filling in the various good values and then replacing it the bad values, etc. You have mentioned that, of course, it's very, very true that you have to take refuge in the Guru Mantra and the Guru Shakti. Is that the only this thing, or it has to be accompanied by this sort of a introspection?
That Guru Mantra means, it is not, I don't mean the japa. I have explained that day also. It means complete association with what the mantra represents, what the Guru Shakti has given. That will take you through various ways. Maybe in your writing I found that surrender is not there, so I have indicated. It's as a personal suggestion that I have indicated that part is missing. You look into that. Because that is a very powerful sadhana one can... Actually, in doing everything, that should be there. Even if you read the scriptures also, that should be with the surrender to the Guru Shakti. Then the scripture will become live. The Shastra Kripa comes from Guru Kripa. People say Guru Kripa, Guru Kripa. Real Guru Kripa will give you Shastra Kripa also. Why? Out of Guru Kripa, when you open Bhagavad Gita will speak to you. It will become live. You don't have to go through interpretations and all. It will speak to you. You will understand what their meaning, what is the experiential meaning in that. Not only Bhagavad Gita, anything you read about spirituality. So that comes through surrender to Guru. Yes. In a way. No, it's not so faith. Shraddha, actually there is no English word for Shraddha. Shraddha, if you call it faith or so, I would like to put it as how you evaluate. That is, what value you attach to anything, that will determine the Shraddha for that. As I said just now, value for money, your Shraddha is for money. If you value that supreme, naturally your attention will be on that. So it is attention that way. There is no English word, one word for that.
I have been in touch with the ashram and here and in many places I am going also. it is only last 3-4 years due to Guru Kripa or God's blessing. From childhood, suppose my life has been in a different manner. Here there are many walks of life, people are coming. Blessed are those who have been here early in their life and they are serving in the ashram. Suppose my type, who is perhaps in holidays coming to somewhere like that, I come once in a blue moon. But is it not also okay that in this life where I have already traversed 73 years, but maybe I am not through with any whatever guna one might have got, but if at all there is something called parabdha, maybe it goes from one life to the other. Can I take that way? Because I am not able to cut off the bandhan that I have in the worldly life that I am leading. But I get dissatisfaction. At the same time, I get some satisfaction that my type also can come to a guru for few hours or days, gets different things to think, and maybe for some time that battery works, and again perhaps some time back I come for charging. So is it a vyartha life that I am leading?
No, why are you calling it vyartha? If you do not have aspiration for anything more, it is fine, but you have to see whether you are fulfilled with that or whether you want fulfillment or not. Say Duryodhana. Duryodhana did not want anything more. Like that, anybody in any level who is reaching self-realization, nobody knows. But people reach their own whatever they, even after self-realization also, it is not just, fulfillment is not one kind. Suppose that, well, it is fulfilled with the, this much of water. If you increase the cavity, you will need 10 times that water. You make a huge lake, it will need 1,000 times more water to fulfill that. All the three are fulfilled. But depending on the capacity, the water content is there.
Yeah.
Similarly, when you are working for the sadhana also, it is in different level. People, they don't have aspirations, so that in, but you're saying that next life and all, these are excuses generally to defer it. But you are free to defer it also. That anybody has the self-will to choose his line.
Yeah.
That what am I, where am I making the selection? What am I choosing? There, I have told already the story of one person in IIT Kharagpur. We had once told that in the morning there is a very good Upanishadic class going on. Why don't you come over there? He is a bhakta of Ramakrishna Dev. He himself professes that he is a devotee of Ramakrishna Dev. So he said that, you don't know, Thakur has said that if God does not will, even a leaf of a tree will not move. So as long as God does not will, how can I go for Upanishadic class? So naturally he said, for coming to the market, God does not have to will. For buying many things, eating and spoiling your stomach also, God does not have to will. Only for going to the Upanishadic class, God has to will. So it is not God's will, but your will. Is it not so?
Yeah.
So we have to see plain, but if somebody doesn't want the fruition, he can be like that. Most of the people do not want the ultimate fruition. They are happy with whatever they are, but not fully happy. They are, whatever it is, they carry on with that.
I am one of those not fully happy.
That's
okay. I think it's time.
We will stop. It's time. Bell ring. Swamiji will come. No? Yeah, they think.
Prabuddham
vimuktam vikaradihinam prasannam sada nitya bodhaswarupam param nishchalam nirgunam sarvarupam bhajeham sadanusmarami pranomi prabuddham vimuktam vikaradihinam prasannam sada nitya bodhaswarupam param nishchalam nirgunam sarvarupam bhajeham sadanusmarami pranomi.